Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to yet another episode of the Philly Nick and Hump Show. I am your host, the Philly Nick. The Philly Hump will be joining us in just a moment. Just waiting for him to call into the show. That being said, this is going to be our normal time going here on out. Wednesday night at 4:30 in the afternoon. Figured it was about time that me and the Hump got together and got something on a weekly basis once again. It's been way too long and very inconsistent this past year and a half with our shows, so we decided to sit down and find a time that would work best for both of us. Obviously, given our anybody who listens to the show knows that we have a wonderful history with Blog Talk and all things technology. So trying to call into a show or getting somewhere on time, sometimes doesn't always work for us. You know, that is what it is. So the Hump will be joining us, like I said, in just a moment. But as of right now, it is just me. I'm sure you can hear some noises in the background. I am actually in my car, so we're doing this mobily from the car because I got stuck at work, so it happened. I'm sure that's kind of what he's dealing with too. So, in fact, he just called in. Let's see, I just see him. Well, apparently the Hump is called in and I cannot see him, so I'm not sure what the deal is. Maybe the Hump can log in and bring himself on, because I'm not seeing you. If you're there, I'm sorry. Maybe perhaps it's because I'm doing this on my phone, and I probably should be driving, but, you know, what's paying attention while you're driving, right? So anyway, tomorrow is the big day. Eagles fans, we are going to be getting a brand new franchise quarterback, which is very exciting. Whether or not you agree with the move to move all the way up, whether you think Carson Wentz is a bum, and he certainly could be. Either way, they went for it, and you got to respect that, and they're taking this franchise on a new direction, and they're just hoping that the next 10 years, Carson Wentz will be at the helm and bring us many championships. That's all you can ever hope. So you don't win by sitting back. So hopefully, do I have the Hump? Oh, sorry. I'm trying to. Why is this not coming up? All right. Well, I apologize. Hump, if you are listening, I'm sure I would suggest to sign on and bring up the studio on your computer, and you should be able to see yourself to bring yourself on. I'm not sure why it's not showing up either. I'm assuming it's because of the mobile site. Probably doesn't keep up with everything. So, so tomorrow night, we don't have to wait long, Eagles fans, which is fantastic news. I don't know about you, but all the times we've drafted in the mid to late teens, early 20s, you know, where we either just barely make the playoffs or, you know, we just miss it or, you know, we have a good run and, you know, obviously ultimately don't do anything with it. We end up having the late pick, and now that they've switched the draft to this three-day extravaganza, it seems everything takes a lot longer. So by the time we were picking, you'd be, if you're anything like me, especially the Hump, you'd be half in the bag. Obviously now we can just enjoy ourselves. We already know what the pick's going to be. The only thing that obviously could happen is if the Rams decided last second they want to go for Goff, or they want to go for Wentz and not pick Goff, which is certainly a possibility. But everything that I've been reading and everything that you hear is the Rams are going to take Goff, keep Jared Goff in California to the L.A. Rams, which would be fantastic. So, not sure what's going on. Again, I apologize for the technical difficulties in trying to get the hump on. But maybe the hump will figure this out on my own. And plus, once I get home in about 5 minutes, I might be able to fix the situation that way. But, yeah, so that's what we're looking forward to. Carson Wentz, number two. And then the rest of the draft is kind of up in the air. We'll see how it, you know, flows. Over the last couple of days, you've been hearing stuff about Miles Jack and his knee and how, you know, maybe his knee isn't as good as once thought. So he's starting to slip down board. Just heard something about Laramie Tunsil. He's getting sued, or he is suing. I'm not sure which way it goes. His, like, stepfather or something. There's something weird going on with his family. He's starting to slip down. He was, I mean, before all this quarterback talk, he was the consensus number one progress. So let me actually try something. I'm going to see if I can just add the hump to my own phone call. Add a call. Call hump. All right. Okay, I believe I have the hump now.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I hope we're still on. I hope we're still on Blog Talk. So hopefully that works. I'm not sure why when you called in it wasn't showing that you were up. So that's weird. But it is what it is, I suppose. So hopefully we got you now. I hope nobody else is trying to call in. if you do, the call-in number is 323.
I am activating my call right now.
Okay. So you're on, so are you going to hang up and go back to the original call? Or?
Yeah, I'll try to swap back to the original call. Hold on.
We'll see what happens. That's some technology. It's a beautiful thing. But if you are looking to call into the show, it is 323.
Okay, I just swapped, so I should be on with your regular call.
All right, good. Yeah, I don't know if you whatever, but anyways,
I have the dashboard up now. So, everybody, the call-in number is 323-642-1469, and if you call in now, I will see it, so I will bring you on. You don't have to count on Billy.
Hopefully. Oh, man. It wouldn't be a show for us if we didn't have some sort of tiny technical difficulty or something go wrong. I mean, I think that's pretty much part of the show.
Yeah, I mean, I think fans would be disappointed if we just came on right at a regular time and like we're both here and ready to go. I kind of think I kind of feel like we'd be letting down our audience on our miscues, you know?
Probably. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And it would be another thing too if we got off in a timely manner at the end and didn't get cut off by the British late.
Oh yeah, our fans would absolutely freak out. Even when we used to have. Remember when we had our hour-long shows and our hour-long podcast? We still got cut off.
Those were the days. 2 hours of awesome.
Yeah, when we'd be on the air for 2 hours, basically just talking Eagles.
Well, now we just do that for 45 minutes.
Yeah, pretty much.
we're on the guise of a Philadelphia sports talk radio show that's supposed to be all, you know, 4 for 4.
All
and
four. Yeah.
But anybody who listens to us knows. We're not alone
in that, though. The other sports radio stations, you know, those guys, they all do the same thing.
that's true.
You know, they
that
talk. They talk Eagles.
I mean, it is
it's
the most interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is the most interesting.
I mean, especially the Flyers out of the playoffs now. The Phillies, you know, whatever, the Phillies. They're going to suck this year.
They're
we all know
done.
It. Although, yeah, they are 500, which I'm sure the fact of the matter is, you know, it's really bad when you're excited about 10 and 10.
Yeah. Yeah, it took, like, I remember, like, I was genuinely excited last week watching the game when they won. And I'm like, oh, yay, we're 10-10. And then I thought, holy crap, what is the world come to where I'm genuinely excited about my team being 10-10?
You know what this reminds me of?
Yeah.
This reminds me of the movie Little Big League. When little kid takes over the team.
Yes.
His
yes, I know.
Player,
I think I know exactly
his
where
favorite player is in a slump, and you know everybody's been telling him, "Oh, you got to get rid of him. You got to get rid of him. He's done. He's done." And he finally gets a hit, he gets an RBI, whatnot, and he does great, and he gets out of the slump. And you know his assistant manager comes up to him and says, "Don't you think?" So you think it says something if you're getting this excited about a single? And that's when he realizes, you know what? He's got to make the decision. He's got to send him down or release him. I forget which way he went with it. But,
yeah, he released him, yeah. Yeah,
so,
I remember the line. Don't you think there's something wrong with getting excited over seeing a single?
Yeah. So I think that's what we're dealing with here in with the Phillies.
Yeah.
It's
yeah,
it's
I'm getting
pretty,
excited
so.
Over seeing a single, yeah.
Pretty much. So that's why people aren't talking about the Phillies so much. You know, we know it's
and the other
comes down to
like. I mean, granted, I imagine as we get closer to the NBA draft, we'll talk more about the Sixers draft options once we see what the draft lottery is. I'm sure we'll get more into that.
Sure, I mean that'll definitely
still,
be exciting.
Yeah. And as much as you and I love the Flyers, the hockey is still considered a niche sport. And, we're avid Flyers fans. Like, I watched all six games of the Flyers Capitals series. And, and didn't miss a minute of it. But, like, I imagine there were plenty of people who, like, checked in a little bit and now are probably checked out of the playoffs. Like, I'm going to watch... what is it? Ducks and Predators, I think, tonight playing Game 7. I'm planning on watching it. And,
I'll definitely have that on.
Yeah. But the average Philadelphia sports fan is not going to sit there and watch that. So I'm not going to break down, the Ducks-Predators Game 7 for everybody because that's not what the fans want to hear. And, look, if I'm wrong, if people want to call in and talk about Ducks-Predators tonight, call in, let's talk. But numbers suggest I'm not wrong. People want to talk to the Philadelphia Eagles. And even after Villanova won the national championship, which was a great moment, that was awesome. But the next day on Sports Talk Radio, you know what I heard? I heard a lot of people talking about what the Eagles are going to do at that point as the number 8 pick.
Yeah. Absolutely. So, it's going to be fun and exciting. Now, speaking of the draft, have you filled out your mock draft fantasy sheet yet?
I actually just got home from, so I was doing something, and my plan is to bring it up, and I'm going to sit here, and I'm going to get myself after the show filling out my mock draft.
I couldn't agree more. That's pretty much what I'm planning on doing as well.
Yeah. Figure I'll grab a cold one, and I'll sit here, and I'll fill out my mock draft.
I'm going all gut.
Well, by a cold one, I mean I'm grabbing a beer and just sitting here drinking a beer and filling out.
I'm not gonna read stuff. I've already read enough. I'm just gonna go.
Oh yeah.
There,
oh, believe me, I've already in the shower. I think in my own head, I came out with Eric Mock Draft version 73. So
That's
I
it?
Definitely. Well, at least version 73. I'm sure it's more like a version 173. You know, 170. Okay, what do I think if this scenario happens? Or what do I, especially when the Eagles were picking at 8 or at 13, it was, okay, what happens if this team does that? Or, you know, because it's funny. The team's picking after, say, San Diego, which is where the draft really begins now. They have to be thinking, okay, what do we do if San Diego takes Tunga? Okay, what do we do if San Diego takes Ramsey?
Right.
You know, and those
what
are the two.
What do we do if they take some random person?
Yeah, if they take Joey Bosa or Ezekiel Elliott or, you know. Or what if the Cowboys take Elliott?
Yeah. What if they don't make their pick?
My dreams come true.
Oh, God.
The Cowboys pulled the Vikings and just forgot to go and send in their pick. And they see Bosa and Ezekiel Elliott and Miles Jack all go up the board before they can go and make their pick.
That would be the dream.
Yeah.
The rest of the top nine comes running out, one after one, throwing names in there.
Hey, congratulations, you were going to get Joey Bosa. Yeah, now have fun with Kevin Dodd. Who I still think is going to be a good player.
Odds are,
as you get further along the draft, the odds are increasingly that the guy's not going to pan out. You know, the top five picks, it's very rare that the top five picks all five pan out, you know. But then as you get more, like, you know, if you get four out of the top five pan out, then it's, you know, six out of the top 10 or, you know, 12 of the, or, you know, 10 out of the top 15. As you get further along, well, that's, you know, if it's 10 out of the top 15, that's five misses. You know, that's, you, as you go along, that's more misses that go along, obviously.
If it was
10
out of the top 15 that were hits,
that would be huge. That would probably set an NFL record.
Yeah.
Last year, I think, would they say there were, yeah, last year there were, what, two of the top 32 picks played all 16 games or started all 16 games?
It was something ridiculous.
So as much of the big deals we make of the first round, it's really what you make out of it. And you have to be thinking beyond just year one, which is why I think the Rams and they're thinking of Jared Goff. I think Goff, right out of the gate, would, if they were both starting week one, I think Goff would be better year one than Carson Wentz. But that's not what this is about. After year 10, you know, that's when I want to look back and say, okay, who had the better career? After year 10, that's where I'm thinking Carson Wentz is going to have the better year, or better career than Jared Goff.
I sure as hell hope so.
Yeah, that's why I'm more of a Wentz guy. And I've felt that way since the beginning, that I like Carson Wentz. It's funny, on I think it was ESPNU, they were reshowing the past year's national championship game. I saw that somewhere when I was looking at the guide this morning. Like, oh, well, I'll be out. But yeah, I saw that. And because I remember watching that game and thinking, man, this guy's pretty good. And thinking, I wonder where they're projecting him in the draft. Wow, looks like he's coming here.
Lo and behold, right?
What's that?
I said, lo and behold, he ends up in Philly.
Oh, I know, yeah. I mean, because I remember watching it. I think I was watching it with my dad. I said to him, Dad, wow, this guy looks pretty good. I wonder where he's going to end up. I wonder where they're going to project him. And I guess we're not going to get a shot at him. But lo and behold, he's going to be an Eagle.
Yeah, I think it's the draft. As the draft crept up, you got a sense that the quarterbacks are starting to make a rise. I don't think anybody, you know, a month or two ago expected them to be 1-2, but, you know, they could see the trend was upwards. And, you know, I think when we moved to 8 initially, I was like, hey, you know what? There might be a chance we could get a quarterback. Not that I was wanting one, but that wasn't my high list of priorities at the time. At the time, it was, you know,
Ronnie Stanley, it was Hargraves, it was Ramsey, or Tuttle, if they fell.
Right.
Dad,
well, let me ask
you,
what was your thought process? Who did, when we were at eight, who were you thinking in your mock draft?
In every scenario that I picked, I had us taking either Ronnie Stanley, Joey Bosa, or Hargrave.
Okay, so there was no Ezekiel Elliott here in your picture?
No, not originally. Not when we first moved up there. The Ezekiel Elliott talk hadn't really begun yet. But I think as we all know, that started creeping up, especially, you know, with DeMarco Murray leaving, you know, soon after that trade and all this other stuff. And Ezekiel Elliott's, you know, was his draft stock was starting to rise. You know, it became a natural fit, so to speak, to put Eagles and Elliott together. Like I said, I didn't necessarily agree with it. I didn't think necessarily he may have been worthy of an eighth pick. I thought, you know, with all the needs that we have other needs rather than running back, rather than creating a need by trading away everyone.
Right.
Think about it. Every single running back, with the exception of Kenyon Barner, has been talked about in trades. No, we already got rid of one of them. And we're talking about getting rid of the other two. And
hold
other deals.
Here, I think we have another phone caller on the line. And it is not a
number
I recognize. So here we go. We're going to bring that caller on the air. And caller, you're on the air. Where are you calling?
Hey, guys, I'm just wondering what your thoughts are on drafting a running back in the first round.
I'll speak for me. It depends on the running back. I'm not as opposed to it as other people have been over the past couple of years. I think it's just kind of been a trend that's been started. And I'll even say it started back in the late 90s when Terrell Davis first on the there's this perception that you can just get a running back any time. Adrian Peterson was a first-round pick. I think he worked out pretty good. Everybody cites Trent Richardson, but, like, I think that's the anomaly. I think there are good running backs. I think Ezekiel Elliott's worthy of a top 10, top 12 pick. I think what it comes down to,
it's hard to from everything that I've seen, it's hard to really determine a running back's value. You know, I have so many running backs in the NFL that were drafted super late and are stuck behind this guy and that guy. And because of injuries, they get a chance to come in and they absolutely blow up. And they rush for 1,000 yards and they have, you know, a couple 100-150-yard games. And, you know, these guys are like, where did this guy come from? He's drafted in the sixth round. So I think there's a lot of perception of, just like you said, that, oh, well, clearly you can just stick, you know, if you have a good running game and you have a good system, you can stick anybody in there and you'll be fine. To a degree, I think that is true, but you're never going to get that extra special player like an Adrian Peterson, somebody like looking like Todd Gurley, somebody looking like Ezekiel Elliott might be. I think Elliott and the guy from Alabama, Henry, I think they're first round graded running backs. And I think Elliott will go in the top 10, and then Henry will go in the bottom 5.
I agree with that. I've actually, in my mock draft, not, you know, a little bit of a spoiler, I have had, you know, in many versions of it, I've had Henry going to, I think Seattle was where I had him going. To replace
I can see that. Sure.
And I want to thank that caller for calling in. He dropped off. We didn't get your name, really, but we appreciate you calling in. And
yeah, absolutely.
Like
we appreciate that.
Our call-in number, again, 323-642-1729. 1469, and we'll bring you right on that last caller. And if you have other questions about, you know, what you think about what we think of about a value guy, maybe, you know, we haven't seen many guards go in the first round, hardly ever. Yeah, I think there's a guard that's going to go in the first round tomorrow night. I think Burnside, I think he's going to go in the first round, in the bottom, you know, in the bottom. And centers, I think Ryan Kelly, the center from Alabama, I think there's a good chance he goes tomorrow night.
Yeah, you know, I think certainly that's a very good possibility, and I think a lot of the time it's hard to predict the end of the rounds because you truly don't understand, like, I mean, how many trades are at the end of the, first round? People trying to trade back in to get that one player. But it happens a lot with quarterbacks.
I feel like it's happening more the last couple of years because ever since the new CBA, where they include that fifth-year option on a first-round pick, you get another year of control, and teams see that as more valuable now than saving a few dollars on them being a second-round pick.
Sure, yeah. The difference between 32 and 33 is, that extra year, and that definitely – is helpful, especially if you hit on a guy.
Which, and I think there's a good chance this year, Cleveland, who holds the 32nd pick, which is actually the first pick of the second round,
right.
I think there's a good chance, especially with all their other picks, that they are going to move back into, say, like in the late 20s to take a guy so they can have that extra year of control.
I wouldn't be surprised if, they jumped in and grabbed maybe a Connor Cook, or I don't necessarily know if Hackenberg is going to be a first rounder. I can see
right.
somebody reaching on him, but somebody like that, I can certainly see them doing that. I can also certainly see that if they don't go for Ezekiel Elliott with the eighth pick, I can see them
mm-hmm.
jumping back in for Henry.
I agree with that, and I'll say that Tennessee might be another team. They hold the 33rd pick. Cowboys hold the 34th pick. Look at those teams that are at the top of the second round that could be in position, especially if they have a lot of picks. Like, in particular, I'd say the Browns and Titans, who each traded the top two picks and acquired a lot of other picks. So they have a lot of ammunition they can play with to get back up into the first round if there's a guy that they really want to have that control of over the next year.
Yeah, no, I agree. So, well, it looks like we got about almost a minute left of live. If you want to call in, we can bring you into the podcast, 323-642-1469. That way, you just call in, we'll bring you on in, and we'll jam out in the podcast together. So, obviously tomorrow's going to be a big day. Always is. It's one of our favorite days of the year. Something we always look forward to. I know Hump, you and I certainly watch quite a bit of film and do our research on players. And, I personally feel like I've pretty much every year I've been able to nail the one or two dudes that really stand out above the rest. Or at least I try to fall like a.
And we got about 30 seconds left, so I guess we'll go and get into our dude in the podcast. Pick out our guy.
So. Yeah, we want to thank everybody for listening. Thanks, dude, for calling in. Didn't get your name, but join us in the podcast.
Yep.
Download us on iTunes. Thanks for listening. Philly Mitch.
I'm the Philly Hump.
And we are officially on live.
All right.
We survived another live version of our wonderful show.
Again, it wouldn't be a Philly Mick and Hump show if we didn't have some kind of run-in with technology.
Yeah, technology hates us. It is what it is. I've grown to accept it.
I thought that was a good thing
that
you brought up there that I want to get that I want to tap into here in the podcast. The guys that are our dudes, you know, like, over the years, you and I have both had our guys that, we have, really, like, going into the draft thinking, man, I really want our team to grab this guy. you know, like whether it's trade up and get this guy or trade back and get that guy, you know, like
right.
there's always been that guy that you and I have been all about.
I mean, I remember probably one of my most famous ones was calling the Philadelphia Eagles selecting LeSean McCoy in the second round.
Yep.
I called
yeah.
that since day one. And I was all about it, all about it.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, they listened to me. They called me up. They said,
sure
hey, enough. Listen, Nick, we need some help here. We don't know who to draft in the second round. I said, guys. Real simple. Hail to Pitt.
Yep.
Go for the Pitt running back. You won't regret it. And sure enough, Shady McCoy ends up being the greatest Philadelphia running back in history. And granted, we traded him away and whatever, whatever, but while he was here,
well, yeah.
he was fantastic. So.
Yeah, and, like, I mean, I've had my guys that, like, you know, one, I know you and I will never get over the Earl Thomas. We talked about that last
no,
time.
That, that
I
one
like
I think will haunt us both because we were – not only was he a guy that we had both targeted, it was a need at the time, and still is.
Yeah.
You know, and the fact that they moved up to get him, we were both ecstatic. We couldn't – be happy.
Oh yeah,
we're gonna get our hard hit, and we're gonna get our next Dawkins. This is gonna be fantastic. I can't wait. What?
Who? Brandon Graham.
Who's this guy? Brandon Graham, the guy who doesn't really have a position. You mean the guy that?
Yeah, and
that,
I remember thinking. Our show talking with Rob from Lawyersburg, big Michigan fan. And him
and
saying
also
somebody
Brad from
was going to – yeah, they were both saying that they really thought somebody was going to trade up and really reach for Brandon Graham. And lo and behold,
and
that
lo
team
behold,
that traded
it was us.
Yeah. Yeah, neither of us thought the Eagles would be that team to go because the Eagles ran a 4-3 at the time. And we were like, he'd be that perfect 3-4 edge rusher. And so
yeah.
we take him and try to put him into a 4-3. And guess what? Now, what are we going to ask Brandon Graham to do? The same thing
yeah.
he wasn't good at 4 years ago.
Exactly. Now, speaking of the draft,
yeah.
I heard a little tidbit today that Philadelphia mm-hmm. is the leading candidate as of right now for the 2017 NFL draft.
Oh, dude, don't even joke with me about
that. I'm not. I wouldn't joke. Philadelphia, theoretically next year, could host the NFL draft, and the Philadelphia Eagles do not have a first-round pick next year.
Oh, I know. What the holy hell? The 1 year that I'm going to be like, that I'm going to watch it as just a quiet observer, because I don't have a, you know, I'm not going to have any skin in the first round.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be sitting there being like, okay, who's dropping in the second round? Who can we get in the second round? And the draft's going to be here? Well, look, dude, if it's here, I don't care, like, what we got to do. We're getting to that draft.
We got to go.
If
absolutely.
Draft Town's Philly, we're here. We're there, you know.
Absolutely. No, well, absolutely there.
We'll have to have a
yeah.
show Thursday night, even if it's, you know, our 11 o'clock, because Blog Talk doesn't let us do prime. We'll do a show at 11 o'clock, you know, on location at the
on
freaking draft.
At the draft. Now,
would they have it at the Wells Fargo
Center?
Or would...
Actually, I would think not. I feel like they would have it at a more
the
of
convention
open,
center?
Probably the convention center.
Mm-hmm.
I would think. Because, again, it's not like one thing that you want to have necessarily a crap ton of people. Like, it's not like they're trying to sell out 50,000 seats for it. So
you're probably going to get to kind of turnout in Philly because all the fans that were like, oh, man, I'd love to go to the draft, but they don't want to either go to New York or now the last 2 years go to Chicago. Although then again, if you weren't going to New York, you're not going to Chicago. But
absolutely. But we're,
yeah,
because
I remember I wanted
team,
for years. Russell.
Well, yeah, absolutely. The other team that's in the mix is L.A., which makes sense.
Oh, that's now.
But – you know, maybe
they don't have a first-round pick next year either.
Yeah, I know. So maybe what they do is they do like a 2 years here, 2 years there, to maybe fill in that 17 and 18. And but on knowing Philadelphia, but knowing Philadelphia, if that's the case, somehow us Eagles fans will screw it up and we'll do something terrible and they'll be like, maybe we should never have the draft here ever again.
That would be
I could definitely see the Eagles fans doing something stupid, definitely. I mean, America will be watching, and that'll be another stain on the viewpoints of America, thoughts of Philadelphia and their sports fans.
Rose,
only
no
imagine. Yeah, I think we'll be throwing rocks at people.
Dude, if it snowed and we threw snowballs at our draft pick, something would happen.
I mean, if it's going to snow in late April, early May, I don't want to be a part of that at all. Although we could save up the snowballs and pack them away in, like,
right?
a freezer. And then, the day of the draft, the day of the draft, we'll bring the snowballs to the draft, and then we could pelt the inevitable awful pick that the Eagles make.
Well, hey, look, think about it. Next year, Eagles don't have a first-round pick. We could just bring those snowballs down there and just help them at every other team's picks.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And
okay,
I can also imagine.
Philadelphia's going to get drafted.
I can certainly see, and the first pick, the NFL draft, the blah, blah, blah picks, John Smith, you suck.
Snowball,
yeah. We can give a you suck after everybody is announced. It's going to be great.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like the introductions when they're like, defensive tackle from Missouri, such and such, sucks. Yeah, that's what we'll do. The first
Absolutely.
Pick. The first pick, the Browns take the show off. Sucks. Yeah, so hopefully nobody from the NFL league office has been listening to our show. I'm not overly concerned if they are, considering our numbers. I would venture to guess that means Philadelphia will never get the draft. And all I can then say to Philadelphia, the economy, everybody around, our bad. That's on us. We'll take that.
Yeah, I think we should apologize now.
Probably should. Yeah.
Sorry, America. We screwed it up again.
Yeah, imagine that.
Yeah. Oh, well. It happens.
I have often compared the NFL draft to, like, our version of Christmas. And this is one of those few times that we know down to two possibilities who we're getting. We know it's either Carson Wentz or Jared Goff. And I know have my preference on Carson. Yeah,
sure.
Go ahead.
Now, I don't necessarily think it's set in stone. I mean, honestly, I can see a scenario where the Rams screw everybody over and they go ahead and they take Carson Wentz.
Mm-hmm.
And the Eagles are up on the clock and they're like, crap, we totally do not like Jared Goff. And we only just said that just to say that. And we totally talked to the Rams, and they totally said they were taking Goff. Like, shit, they totally screwed us. I can honestly see them being like, nah.
We'll take Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, Tunsil. Like, I can totally see them taking one of those two guys should Wentz be the pick at number one. I don't think it's likely. I think they truly do like Goff if it comes down to it. And especially with the Sam Bradford thing, it's like, and we'll know for sure if Sam Bradford gets dealt before the draft that, all right, then they're 100% good with either one of these quarterbacks because,
right.
Yeah, they just fade away the starting quarterback and They better be damn good well with Jared Goff.
Yeah, at that point you better be. And I don't understand how you didn't have this conversation with Sam Bradford ahead of time, especially as the
They totally did. I don't believe Tom Coughlin for 1 second. He can go suck a goat. He is the most ridiculous, ass-backwards human in the history of the world. Telling me you had no idea? This is blindsided? Oh, you didn't think that going from 13 to 8, they weren't going to be thinking about a quarterback? The fact of the matter is they gave you basically a one-year deal, once again, to prove yourself. Sam Bradford, I heard the other day, his career numbers, you know who's eerily similar with career numbers to Sam Bradford is?
Who's that?
Josh Freeman.
Josh, and where is he now?
Freeman. He is bagging groceries right now. That's where he is. He was a bust. And he has a very similar win-loss record. He has a few more touchdowns and a few more interceptions. His quarterback rating is like 1 or 2 points below, but very similar. And Sam Bradford has been paid over $100 million.
Good God.
To do nothing. She has not won more than 7 games in a season.
Yeah.
He is an official bust. But because of his injuries, people said, oh, no, it's the injuries. It's the injuries.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And look, people were doing
the Rams didn't have anybody. The Rams didn't have anybody. They had no offensive line. Blah, 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 blah. It's nothing but excuses for this guy. He has made more money than any of us will ever see in 8 lifetimes. And he's done nothing with it. He is a bum. Tom Coughlin, I don't know what he's saying to him, but he's got his head all messed up. Sam Bradford should know exactly what he is. He needs to prove
himself. And Tom
Coughlin
doing all this, saying, oh, well, now the pressure's on to play well. God forbid you should actually play well. Oh, my God, there's pressure on you with your huge contract to play well? Gee, I really feel bad for you.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know,
how many
NFL,
times?
Dude, you've got to play well. Otherwise, you're out of the door.
How many times does an NFL team with a decent quarterback draft a quarterback? It happens all the time. And you don't see the starting
and not always
and
the
like,
first
Meh.
Round.
Yeah.
Did Brett Favre pitch a bitch when the Packers took Aaron Rodgers? No, he didn't. You know what he did?
He went out and kept
Aaron Rodgers because he lit it up so bad.
3 years. Yeah, Joe Montana didn't cry about it when they got Steve Young. Drew Brees didn't cry when they got Phillip Rivers. No. He went out there.
They went out there and said, okay,
off.
I'm going to play my ass off, and I dare you to bench me.
Yeah.
Or I dare you to release me.
Absolutely. So, Sam Bradford is a delusional son of a bitch. He is a no-talent
grow
ass clown.
A pair, go out and take
grow a pair,
you want
go
this?
And play and
yeah.
take the job.
Yeah, you want this job,
anyway.
Go out and take it.
Yeah. We're about to get cut off, as per usual.
Yeah, we are.
But
thanks to our one
calling,
we appreciate it.
Yeah, I don't know where 224 area code is, but I got to look that
yeah,
up and find out where the first is.
I will Google that.
I didn't recognize it.